Lunch Recordings presents Oliver Cam on Accidents Will Happen, the non-pedantic guide to English usage. Sponsored by Doro, number one in the senior mobile market.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. Thank you to the Aldi for hosting this fine occasion. I'm very honoured to be here and to address you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a writer. I use words every day. I write Times leaders almost every day. I write several columns a week. I sit at the Times. I go into the office every day, Murdoch Towers at London Bridge. I sit opposite one of Britain's leading political commentators. Prime ministers seek his advice. Television interviewers vie for his opinions. He's one of the most brilliant conversationalists, commentators, columnists, debaters, and all-round charming people I know. Let's, for sake of argument, call him, I don't know, Daniel Finkelstein. Scarcely a day goes by when this most eloquent and witty of writers does not look up from his desk and ask me to check his grammar and punctuation. He will say, "Oliver, can I use disinterested or should it be uninterested? What's the right place for the apostrophe in peoples? Should it be the elder of two children or the eldest of two children?" What I say to Daniel, for the sake of example, is almost always, go with your instinct. You are an intelligent, articulate, native speaker of English and one of the most fluent writers I know. Go with your instinct. And then you will almost certainly, not necessarily, but almost certainly get it right. Yet I can't shift him from the conviction that he doesn't know the structure of his own language. In that respect, very similar to many, many Times readers who write to me with queries and observations and comments about language. They are, just like my friend, highly intelligent, highly eloquent, yet they are convinced that their English is somehow deficient. And you know how it goes, ladies and gentlemen, you know how the story goes. Formal grammar lessons were abolished in English and Welsh schools in the 1960s. These days, young people can't structure a sentence. Their intonation always goes up like this. They intrude the word like at every opportunity. Pretty soon we'll just be communicating by grunts. Unless literate people like us, who read the Oldie, who read the Times, who listen to Radio 4, make a stand for standards of literacy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's all wrong. It's all untrue. There has never been a time in the history of the English language when people have not worried that standards are falling, that the next generation will somehow, through a lack of articulacy, not be able to communicate. Many, many of the greatest figures in English letters have worried about the state of the language. My message to you and to readers of my language column in the Times is relax. Relax. It's always been the way that people worry about the state of the language. And yet, somehow or other, it survives. Defoe and Swift, as I say, worried about standards of English grammar. And yet, 50, 60 years later, Dr. Johnson was creating his great dictionary, not the first dictionary in the English language, but certainly the first voluminous dictionary. And he was expressing meanings and semantics and morphology, as modern linguists know it, in an unparalleled way. There has never been in the history of civilization, so far as we know, and we do know, a case of a language that has simply collapsed through inattention, something that wears out, a bit like an old fridge, through inattention. I give quite a lot of talks to school groups, audiences of a very slightly younger average age than those assembled at this oldie lunch. And I always ask them, I talk to them about language, I talk to them about grammar, I talk to them about the history of English. And I always ask them the same question. How did you, assuming you are a native speaker of English, get that way? How did you learn to put words in a particular order, inflect for a particular tense or number? And the answer that always comes to me is a very good answer, but not actually the correct answer. The answer they give is, I listened to my mum and dad, and I repeated it. It's a good answer, because it suggests that language is learnt behaviour, but it can't actually be correct. And I'll tell you why. If you have a child or a grandchild of, say, 18 months, 2 years old, you will hear them say things like, Daddy, I eated the biscuits. Or more usually, in my experience, Daddy, I haven't eated the biscuits, it was someone else entirely. Don't look at me. Why do they say something like this? They've never heard the verb inflection, eated. The reason is not that they don't know grammar, it is that they do know grammar. They know the rules for inflection for tense, and they mechanically apply it again and again and again. They do know grammar. Don't worry that they don't know how irregular verbs go. They'll pick that up. They'll pick that up. Don't worry that you failed them if they haven't yet got eaten and et. They'll pick that up. But this is the fascinating capacity for human language. Absolutely every child picks up language. It's not like learning to ride a bike or learning to use a computer. It's not an acquired skill. It's something absolutely intrinsic to what we are. And this is why modern linguists, the famous names in this are Noam Chomsky, who's perhaps best known for his political commentaries, which is a shame because they're trivial, but he is a great, not just a good scientist, but a great scientist, and Steven Pinker. Their theoretical work and their analytical work suggests that language is something absolutely intrinsic to humanity. It's a human faculty, something we all have. And I'll give you a tiny example of what that can do. There are about 5,000 or 6,000 languages in the world today, living languages, natural languages. We don't know exactly how many because there's some difference of definition between a language and a dialect, but there are about 5,000 or 6,000 languages. How old do you think is the most recent language? I'll tell you as we're running out of time, I won't go around the room, but it's about 35 years old. It's a language spoken by a few thousand people as a native language. I say spoken in a generic sense. It's actually a sign language. It's called Nicaraguan Sign Language. Under the old dictatorship in Nicaragua, mute children, deaf children, were kept rigidly segregated all over the country. They didn't meet each other. After 1979 and a revolution, they were put together in institutions. They couldn't speak. They couldn't talk, but put together, they could come up with a system of signs that became more and more complex. If you have a look at television sign interpreters, they're not just signaling like semaphore. Sign language is a very complex system of grammar in its own right. And these mute children came up with a sign language with its own complex grammar. Nicaraguan Sign Language, it's the most recent natural language in the world. And it confirms the fact, because it is a fact, that language isn't a cultural artifact. It's something absolutely intrinsic to us. Once you realize this, you become much less concerned than the sort of newspaper pundits and pedants who decry the decline of the language, because it actually isn't true. It actually isn't true. People have been worrying about the state of the language for literally centuries. And yet the language never breaks down because it is constrained by our need to communicate. Standards of English grammar and literacy have never been higher, ladies and gentlemen. If you are worried about the state of the English language, forget it now. I just require two things in English language teaching which you should be entirely unfazed about. First, don't decry non-standard dialects. They are fully as grammatically complex as standard English. And second, forget the bogus superstitions that most people think of as grammar. Things like stranded prepositions, split infinitives, less, fewer, disinterested, uninterested, and so forth. They don't matter. The most fascinating thing is that we are constrained by a need to communicate, and there is no more popular language in the world than English, and its prospects are extremely bright.
The Oldie Magazine Recordings. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for The Oldie 2015.